From the studios of AIM International, this is AIM On Air, where we explore the methods, technologies, processes, and people on the front lines of digital transformation in action. I'm your host, Kevin Crane. Welcome to the show. Our guest today is Rich Nanda. Rich is a principal at Deloitte Consulting, where he serves as the leader of the U.S. Monitor Deloitte Strategy Practice. Rich has significant experience in guiding clients through strategy-led transformation to achieve real results. He routinely advises the boards and CEOs and executive teams on consumer product companies on topics like growth and innovation and technology adoption. But he's with us today to talk about his book, The Transformation Myth, Leading Your Organization Through Uncertain Times. Rich, thank you so much for being with us today. What is the transformation myth?
Kevin, well, thank you for having me on. Look, the myth is that transformation is this finite event that has a beginning and an end. And a lot of times, organizations will define a transformation program, and that program very much has a scope of work, usually, and a beginning and an end and a set of goals. But we believe organizations and leaders of organizations need to think of transformation as more of a state of being, adapting to an increasingly volatile and disruptive environment, and growing through transformation, rather than just completing initiatives that are transformative in nature.
I see. It's almost a more organic or almost a heartfelt adoption of a mindset than it is some sort of plan that you put on paper and follow, and then months later, a couple of years later, whatever, you're done. It's a living sort of thing.
That's exactly right.
All right. That makes sense. But kind of counterintuitive to how, like, as you mentioned, most organizations approach it. How can organizations bust this myth and do something more organic?
Yeah, well, in some ways, you know, it's never been an easier time to adopt this thinking about transformation as a way of being and growing. The world around us, whether that is technologically, in society, or in business dynamics, business and government dynamics, there's never been more change. And one of the premises we talk about in the book is that pace of change is likely to only accelerate. And certainly technological innovation is at the heart of that. But that isn't the only dynamic that is creating this accelerating rate of change that business and enterprise leaders need to grapple with. And we believe one of the ways leaders of the most successful organizations will grapple with that rate of change is to accept, embrace, and organize around the fact that transformation is the path to sustained growth and success. The organization as it exists today will adapt at more meaningful and different rates, and in some ways not resemble the organization of the past, and those changes will, you know, continue to happen. And, you know, of course, things like mission and values will be constant, and aspects of culture will be constant. But how the company competes, if it's in the private sector, or how the government organization achieves its mission, are likely to change in more and more dramatic ways.
And that's really core to your book. In your book, you say that transformation is key to disruption. You've been talking about change, but you're talking about how we need to adopt a mindset that takes advantage of the disruption, because that companies that innovate in times of disruption often emerge stronger. Can you give us a specific example of that and what you mean?
Yeah, well, look, we actually researched and wrote the book during the pandemic. And if your audience is so inclined to read the book, they'll see that in real time, we were researching the events that were occurring in business, government, and society during the pandemic. And one of the first things that all enterprise had to do was massive virtualization of work, massive virtualization of how customers were served. And, you know, there was a an inciting event through the lockdowns that happened in the pandemic that required that. And so our hands were forced. There was this very urgent crisis that companies were responding to. But what we learned was that the things that we used to respond during that pandemic, there's actually tools behaviorally, organizationally, technologically that can be applied in times that don't feel like a crisis that can advance the organization in similar ways. And the other thing we now know in hindsight is, while the pandemic was first and foremost a time of significant human tragedy and suffering, we did emerge from the pandemic seeing companies and government organizations being more agile, being more nimble, being more scalable than they were before. And so there's some real lessons. And so, that's the most macro level and obvious example that I would point to. But throughout the pandemic and the months and now years since, we've seen the theory of the case continue to play out.
Well, and we continue to be in an era of incredible change, both technologically and in business. This means a great deal of opportunity and also a great deal of increased risk. You advise leaders today to thrive through these disruptions by first unpacking the degree of uncertainty and then identifying what you call no-regret actions that serve them well across a range of potential futures. Can you describe how this works and how to do it?
Yeah. Look, the concept of scenario planning is one that's been with us for decades. There's some real goodness in using scenarios to think about potential futures and the range of actions you would apply regardless of a potential future. You know, those are no regrets. The ones that would be unique to one future versus the other, those then have to be tailored to that environment. The thing that I believe is very different now is because the rate of change is as high as it is, and because the change has such a standard deviation around it, forgive the math person in me coming out with rates and standard deviations, but things are going faster and things can have more variability. That means scenario planning can't be something that's done once every few years or even once a year. Leaders need to think about the range of scenarios that might play out in front of them in a much more dynamic way. They should be sensing against those scenarios in a more dynamic way. And they should be revisiting what no-regret actions they need to be putting into place on an ongoing basis. And if you believe that transformation isn't a one and done and it's a way of being, one of the ways leaders need to lead and manage is to have a relatively frequent review of these scenarios and then the no-regret actions and make sure those no-regret actions are actually being acted upon. So it's kind of like having a stock of no-regret actions that you're referring to against the environment as you see it playing out.
What exactly do you mean by no regret actions?
Yeah, look, so I believe one that a type of no regret action that became very obvious during the pandemic and has only increased in intensity in the recent months around generative AI is enterprises need to get their data in order. I work with a lot of companies and most companies would say how they manage, organize, and access their data remains a less than ideal situation, if not a problem. And so I'd venture to say more than 9 out of 10 companies have a no regret action around organizing, stewarding, and making their data available better than they can today. And look, this was known to us during the pandemic when virtualization required things like, hey, I want to be able to offer customers who we only interacted with physically, we want to be able to offer them a virtual relationship and virtual ways to access our products and services. Well, guess what? You needed better data about who those customers were and what they wanted to share and didn't share and how they could interact with your brands. And those things got stood up in a pretty intense way when it was required. And I think we're seeing a similar intensity now in a generative AI world where companies are thinking about, well, if we're going to take advantage of large language models that we want to train on our data versus large language models that are trained on the internet, we actually need to have our data and our enterprise knowledge organized in a thoughtful way. And so that's sort of this evergreen and ever true no regret action. I won't go too long here, but I think there's another one on preparedness of the workforce for a more dynamic environment. And how are we creating more education, more cross-training for our workforce? Because the workforce of today will need to evolve in very significant ways. And companies that have embraced no regret actions around workforce preparedness, agility, are likely to thrive more than others.
AIM believes information is your most important asset. Learn the skills to manage it with AIM at AIIM.org. We are here today with Rich Nanda. We're talking about his book, The Transformation Myth, Leading Your Organization Through Uncertain Times. Now, Rich, a lot of things are happening right now, as you've been talking about, converging technologies, converging social expectations. These are creating new barriers, but also new business opportunities. I want to ask about the opportunities today and these potential futures we've been talking about. Where are the opportunities today to build next-gen capabilities using technology that will really set us apart and move the needle in terms of competitive advantage?
Yeah, I like the way you framed the question, because one player's barrier is another player's opportunity. And sometimes everybody's barrier becomes an opportunity for those that pursue it. And so, you know, I'm an optimist. I like the growth mindset, which we also talk about in the book, which means, you know, you have to see the world through the lens of what are opportunities and new opportunities that are being presented to us. We could go a lot of ways on this in terms of where, you know, where's the disruption and where are opportunities being created. I think we have to start in the current moment with generative AI and the impact it's going to have on how value is created, the scale and reach of automation and intelligence is going to be substantially different than it was in any leader that is leading an organization today up until this point in history. And we're also at a moment of significant hype. We're at a moment of significant experimentation. And I think it's an excellent case study in, no one's going to bet the business yet on, at least no Fortune 500 is betting the business yet on generative AI. But the most progressive companies are out there working with a new set of partners that are in the generative AI world, and they're going to design innovation and experiments that can happen inside their business, because there's a host of things to figure out from a technological standpoint, from a work standpoint, from an ethics and a privacy and a risk management standpoint. And again, I think the first movers are the ones that are going to develop capabilities and muscles that then others will have to follow on, or that others will have to buy on a more commoditized basis. And if you're doing on a commoditized basis, how are you going to differentiate? And so I think something we talk about in the book is companies that have more expansive networks of players that they work and engage with are then therefore more open organizations. They're bringing more inside, and this experimentation and innovation, don't do it yourself, do it with others and learn from the others. And that creates more future agility and options. So I would say we're once again living in an amazing case study of a moment with generative AI and the impacts it's going to have. And, test the principles of the book in that setting. That's what I'm doing personally at Deloitte, and what we're doing with our clients as well.
Where do you come down on the hype or the excitement about generative AI today? What types of impacts do you really see in our future? And should we be as worried as some folks in the news are talking about?
I manage my worry, and I think more about opportunity. Now, look, I'll come back to risk management because it's real. because I do think this is a profound technology that will change the nature of how we work and how society functions. So I'm in the camp that the hype is warranted. Is the hype 100% correct? Of course not. But the hype is warranted because this is transformational in a way that, you know, we haven't seen recently. I do believe that things like the amount of hours that go into aspects of knowledge work will come down substantially. And that's going to create implications for work. It's going to create implications for cost structure. And companies will take advantage of that. And then we have to think about, okay, if we're going to impact the way knowledge work gets done, then how are we going to help those workers retool for a different set of work? And it's going to create productivity. I'm in the camp that we're not talking about mass displacement of work. We're talking about different work and new levels of productivity. I also think we're going to find new ways of creating customer experiences and creating products that didn't exist before. And that's exciting. It's going to be a time of great innovation, and we'll see new companies and new business models formed. And so while the operations and the productivity side of generative AI's impacts are real, I think they're just as real on reimagining new ways of delighting customers, new ways of building economic value, new ways of making government function more productively. Like, those are all ahead of us as well. And what a awesome opportunity for existing companies and new innovative startups to chart a new course of how value is created and how the economy functions.
And this is why you say it's important for organizations to rethink their ways of working and take this really unprecedented opportunity to redesign work and their workforce in the workplace.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, not to overplug the book, but I'm here to talk about the book. Generative AI was a thing when we wrote the book, but it was a thing to a very small slice of engineers and researchers. And, you know, here we are now. It's much more mainstream and impacting all of us. And the lessons in the book about embracing disruption as an opportunity, using a growth mindset, are applying in spades in the environment we're now living in with Gen AI.
Connect with a vibrant community of information professionals as a member of AIM. When you join, you gain access to our premium resources and much more. For more information, just go to aim.org/membership. That's AIIM.org/membership. We have been speaking with Rich Nanda. We're talking about his book, The Transformation Myth, Leading Your Organization Through Uncertain Times. Now, Rich, can you give us an example of an organization that you feel has been successful in sort of embracing this different approach? What did they do and what were the results?
Yeah, I like talking about one of the companies we wrote about in the book, Elevance Health, which is a health plan provider. It's not a, you know, it's not a tech company as we would think about tech companies in Silicon Valley. It's a very traditional company that's been around for a long time, and it helps the U.S. health system function. It connects providers of healthcare to their patients. It allows for the processing of health needs and health payments to occur in a very you know, a systematic way that our system requires. But there's a leader in Elevance, Rajiv Ronanki, who we write about in the book. And Rajiv had a vision that said, I believe we are a data and an AI company that can revolutionize the way that care is provided and that the constituents in our health system operate together. And he saw some no-regret moves around better organizing the very complicated data that was inside their organization and how it was shared with their constituents. And well ahead of, you know, the pandemic, they had done that. But because of that, they were able to do things during the pandemic, applying intelligence and automation to their data sets to provide more predictive signals to patients. There was a phenomenon during the first months of the pandemic where people weren't seeking care that they needed, unrelated to the virus, but just the standard care that they needed because they were afraid to engage in the health system. And the intelligence that Elevance was able to create and the services they were able to create were providing proactive nudges to the patients and to their providers that, hey, a care that is very safe to get in a controlled environment or through telehealth is available and can help you. And so please go get those services. And that's just one use case that the team was able to deploy during the pandemic to really make a difference in lives, as well as to make all of these companies function in a more productive way. And so I like talking about that one because it's a very, in some ways, boring industry and a boring first place to start on Raji's part, but how unboring and impactful the results were from that work.
Now, Rich, we have reached the action item round of the show. I'm wondering if you could please provide us with three quick action items that our listeners can do to begin to take advantage of the ideas and advice in your book.
Yeah. So the first is any leader, regardless of the scale and the area of the organization you're leading, this has to become your job. Understanding disruption, the scenarios, the no regret moves. You need to take it upon yourself as a leader to internalize and have a point of view on that. So one, the leader needs to own this. Two, the leader needs to create an environment in their team where there's conversations about disruption and the opportunities from disruption and a shared understanding of the no regret moves. And so the second is, you know, the leader needs to bring the whole team on the journey. And then the third is don't do it on your own. Go find partners, whether those are technology, software and data providers, academic institutions, consulting organizations like mine. Build a network of external partners that you're working with to understand that environment and to experiment and innovate in a coordinated way. Because I guarantee there will be really important ideas and innovations that come from the outside in versus from the inside.
Well, Rich, it's been great speaking with you today. This has been a really forward-looking interview. One last question, again, about the potential future. What should executives and business owners, all of us really, be thinking about now and strategizing for today in order to be prepared for the world in 5 years' time?
Yeah, I like to tell my clients and my team that we're in a golden era of innovation. And so, you know, we talked earlier about, is it a barrier? Is it an opportunity? I think, you know, the best leaders will see more opportunities than they see risks and barriers. They'll be smart about how they pursue those opportunities, but really think about a golden era. And, you know, what did leaders do in a golden era to thrive? They embraced every opportunity as a real difference-making opportunity. And so those would be my words of encouragement to your listeners.
That is Rich Nanda from Deloitte Consulting. Get his book, The Transformation Myth, Leading Your Organization Through Uncertain Times. Rich, thank you so much for being our guest today.
Evan, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
This has been AIM On Air. Find us at aim.org. That's AIIM. I'm your host, Kevin Crane. Thanks for listening. AIM International. AIIM.org.